as I look around the congregation this morning, there's not too many people, it seems to me, who have reached that stage of life known as retirement. There's one or two, or maybe three. I could not go any further. But not many. So the rest of you, I wonder what you think of retirement. Are you looking forward to it? Those of you who know me know that I have an increasing pile of books that I refer to as my retirement reading. I don't think I'll ever get to them, though, because most people who've reached retirement tell me that they're busier in retirement than they ever were before. Be that as it may, we usually think of retirement as something to look forward to because it's a period of rest at the end of a working life. Is that not how you think of it? We also think of retired people as mature people. People of great experience. People who know about life and who have reached a certain maturity in their lives. Is that not right? But when Paul talks about spiritual maturity, he has no idea of retirement in view. When Paul talks in verse 15 of Philippians chapter 3 about those of us who are mature, having a certain mind, having a certain mindset, he's not thinking of people resting on their laurels. He's not thinking of people having achieved a certain degree of maturity that means that they've arrived, spiritually speaking. In fact, Paul speaks in language that is quite contrary to that. He speaks in the kind of language that makes you think that retirement is actually harder work than anything that went before. He speaks in the language of exertion, the language of battle. Let's have a look at this passage in verses 12 through 16. I want first of all to draw out something that Paul obviously knew about his own life. He says, and he reiterates to the Philippians, something that is of vital importance that we know and understand. He says in verse 12, "Not that I have already attained, not that I am already perfected." Verse 13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, to have laid hold of something." What Paul knew was that he hadn't yet attained the fullness of what he longed for. That's what he's been talking about in the previous section of this chapter. In verses 1 through 11, as we saw last week, Paul understood that there was something to be grasped in life. He wanted the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wanted a relationship, a union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul had attained all sorts of things in his life. We saw last week that Paul had an enviable background. Born of true Israelite parents. Having grown up in a Greek culture, but nevertheless a speaker of Hebrew. And very much a Hebrew in his own cultural background. He was one who had been brought up under the law of Moses, so that even before he could make any choices, the choices of his parents had been perfectly consistent with the requirements of the law of God. Paul had this enviable background. Furthermore, he had put his whole heart and life into the service of God. He says that concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. He belonged to that sect in Israel that saw the law of God as the pinnacle. To achieve that, to be obedient to that, was the most important thing in life. Paul belonged to that sect. So zealous was he for the honor of the God of Israel that he went out of his way to persecute the church of Jesus of Nazareth, the people of the way, as he calls them. A sect of Israel that was saying the law didn't matter. That this one who had come, this Jesus from Nazareth, had fulfilled all the requirements of the law, and all that was necessary was to believe in him, and you were right before God. Paul zealously persecuted the church. It was his mission in life to destroy the church. And when it came to his own obedience to the law, he says he was blameless. He had kept the Ten Commandments and all those other commandments that the Ten were a summary of. No one could point a finger at the Apostle Paul and say, oh, you failed in this area and that area and the other area. No, Paul could say, I have been blameless. Just like that rich young ruler, from my youth up, I have kept those laws. Paul was a mature Israelite until one day he met the Lord Jesus Christ. On that road to Damascus, Jesus stopped him in his tracks. And Paul's life was turned upside down. And as we saw last week, all those things that he had held on to were so precious to him. His heritage and his own achievements, he saw as being nothing. They were a waste of time. He had lost the plot. He had missed the chief aim of his life because he had failed to recognize the Messiah of the Old Testament. And rather than honoring the Messiah and serving the Messiah, he was persecuting the Messiah and the followers of the Messiah. And Paul was able to say, I all those things which were gain to me, which made me stand a head taller than anyone else in Israel, I have counted loss for Christ. I count all things loss for that I may gain Christ. He is now the focus of Paul's life. And Paul, as he writes this letter to the Philippians, may be 60 years old. He's up for retirement. Look what he's achieved in his life. For year after year after year, he has devoted himself to the service of his new master, Jesus of Nazareth, the true Messiah of God. He has given his life over to him. He has gone from one end of the Roman Empire virtually to the other, preaching the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. He has been ridiculed. He's been beaten. He's been stoned virtually to death. He's been whipped. He's been imprisoned. Even now, as he writes this letter, he's in chains in a Roman under Roman house arrest. Paul has planted churches. Paul has brought to birth many to spiritual life. Paul has been used greatly by God to spread the gospel throughout the Roman world of his day. Paul has achieved so much. Paul is mature. He's been a Christian for many years as he writes this letter to the Philippians and as he encourages them in their walk with the Lord. Paul is a senior citizen in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But one thing Paul knows, I have not yet attained. I am not yet perfected. I do not yet count myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet. I can't rest on my laurels. As much as I have achieved, I have not achieved the greatest prize of all. I still labor for that. Paul knew this truth. And as he urges the Philippians to count all their background and all that they have achieved so far in life as nothing in order to lay hold of Christ, as he urges them to have a right view of their lives, he says, my friends, I haven't yet achieved. I haven't yet got there. And the question that we must ask ourselves is, what kind of attitude do we have? Do we have the kind of attitude that says, I've attained a remarkable measure of spiritual maturity. I know so much about the scriptures. My knowledge is above average when it comes to the Word of God. I'm theologically astute. I'm orthodox in all my doctrine. I can answer most questions that the average Christian brings along to me. And I feel that I'm a reasonably good guide for those who are younger in the faith. And really, you know, it's time for me just to lay off a little bit. I don't need to study the Word quite so much as I used to because, well, you know, my knowledge is so much better than it used to be. The urgency is no longer there. There may be some things that I don't fully understand, but look at what I do understand. I don't need to be quite so active in reaching out, in getting involved in evangelism in the community. I mean, I've spent years doing this. I've exerted myself. I've walked up and down constantly. Knocked on countless doors, spoken to innumerable people on buses, in trains, on planes, at street corners. You know, it's time for someone else to do these tasks. I'm going to retire because I've achieved so much. I've done so much. It's great that these younger people are getting more involved. It's wonderful to see their enthusiasm. Oh, I used to be like that, and what a blessing those things were to me at the time. But I don't need them anymore. Do you have that kind of attitude? An attitude that essentially says, I know enough. I've done enough. I've pretty much arrived. If I'm not in through the door, I'm on the doorstep. I can relax now. The Apostle Paul, in the last months of his life, said, I have not yet attained. I have not yet been perfected. I don't count myself to have apprehended. Paul knew his work wasn't yet finished. He couldn't yet retire. Do you know that? So what does Paul do about it? That's the second thing that we note in these verses. That Paul doesn't simply know that it's not time to retire. He does something. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, all of my achievements, all of my knowledge, everything that I have attained, I forget and I reach forward. And I press toward the goal. Paul gives us here the image of an athlete who's running a race and he's striving for that finishing line. Maybe he can see it in the distance. Imagine the marathon runner, 26 miles and however many yards. And he's run and he's run and he's run. And then in the distance, he can see where the finishing line is located. Does he begin to walk? He's got 25 miles behind him. Does he start walking now? No, of course he doesn't. If anything, he strives even harder. He works even harder. He makes those tired legs run even faster. The strain is there, but he goes through the pain until he gets to the finishing line. He presses on. He reaches forward. He doesn't give up. Paul, who had done so much in his life and is now chained between two guards, under arrest in Rome, says, I still press on. I still reach forward. Everything I know so far is not enough. The breath in my body, I must serve my Lord and Saviour with all my might. Every opportunity I must take to speak a word in season to those who come and ask me, even to these guards between whom I'm chained. Every opportunity I have to take up ink and paper and write a letter of encouragement, of exhortation to Christians in another part. And perhaps he knew in another century, in another millennium. I must do this. And as we know from his letter to Timothy, he longed to continue studying. He longed that someone would bring the scrolls to him so that he could study the word. This one who had been so blessed with direct revelation from God that the bulk of the New Testament was penned by his own hand. This one longs to increase his knowledge of God and to continue to live for God. And we could say, well, Paul, isn't it time just to relax a little? You've done so much. Paul says, no, I will press on. I will not stop now. I won't even slow down. The race is almost over, and I will run it with all my vigor to the very end. You see, Paul knew he hadn't arrived. Paul knew there was a prize. But the only people who get the prize are the people who cross the finishing line. 26 miles of a marathon don't win you the prize. You've got to run those extra few yards. You've got to cross the line. And Paul recognizes he's not there yet. And he will exert himself. Will you? Those of you who are Christians this morning, whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you've been a Christian a short time or whether you've been a Christian for many, many years, decades even. If you're here in this room this morning, I know you've not arrived. If you're here in this congregation this morning and you're still alive, you can see me and you can hear me, I know you've not arrived. Because the finishing line is death or Christ's return. I don't hear any trumpets. And we're still here alive. None of us has arrived. We must all press on, using all our energy in the service of Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul knew that he hadn't arrived, and Paul strove to reach that goal. And here's what Paul wanted, thirdly. He wanted the prize. He wanted to lay hold, verse 12, of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. He wants to reach the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's a prize that Paul wants, and the prize is salvation. Well, you're already saved. You put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done everything for you. What more do you want? But you see, Paul doesn't see salvation as being achieved, as being perfected, until he's with his Saviour in glory. We may be on the road to the celestial city, as Bunyan puts it in his Pilgrim's Progress. But have you read the Pilgrim's Progress, and have you noted how many never actually reach the end of that road? They may start well, but it isn't starting that's so important as finishing. Of course, if you're going to finish, you must start. Not everyone who starts a race finishes a race. And certainly not when it comes to races of endurance like a marathon. And Paul sees salvation as something that is yet in the future for him. Look at the language he uses. He wants to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of him. What was it that Christ laid hold of him for? Why did Christ come into this world? To save sinners. To save his people from their sins. That was why Jesus came. That's why God sent his own unique Son into this world. To stand in their place, to be their representatives, to be a substitute for them and pay the penalty for their sins. And Paul says, I know that Jesus Christ laid hold of me in order to save me. And he says, I press on that I may lay hold of that salvation for which Jesus Christ laid hold of me. Paul understands that no one can pluck him out of the hands of Jesus, his Saviour. He studied John's Gospel. He knows that no one is able to pluck him out of the Father's hand. And yet at the same time, he recognizes that until the race is finished, it's not over. Until he reaches the finishing line, he must still run. He must still have this attitude of not being saved, if you like. That this work that has been begun, yes, God will bring it to completion. But Paul must exert himself in the process too. Paul says in verse 14, he presses toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now this is a reference again to salvation, to the call of God to repent of our sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ isn't a one-off occasion. It's a life of commitment. I will trust Christ today and every day. I can't simply make some decision And once I've made the decision, doesn't matter what else I do, the decision has been made, I have called myself a Christian, God will save me. No, the response to the call of God is an response. It's a trusting every moment. It's an entrusting of our lives to God and an obedience to His word, to His commands, to His requirements of us. And His requirement of us is that we serve Him. And what enthused Paul as a young convert at Damascus and caused him immediately to start sharing the gospel enthuses Paul now. The fact that Jesus Christ has laid down his life and borne the punishment for his sins enthuses Paul to serve Christ with every breath, with all his strength. You've met young converts, you've been a young convert once yourself. The enthusiasm, sometimes reckless enthusiasm, of the young convert. The joy that they have in the knowledge that God loves them and has sent a Redeemer for them. And the way that they enthusiastically obey the Lord. Every new thing that they understand about God and His requirements of them spurs them on. And out they go to try and apply this new teaching to their life. Well, Paul hasn't lost any of his enthusiasm to serve God. Enthusiasm to know Christ better. To be more like his Saviour. And so, Paul wants the prize. He presses on for the prize. He knows he has not yet been given the prize. And so he says in conclusion, in verses 15 and 16, therefore, since this is the case, since we have not yet arrived, since the prize has not yet been given to us, as many as are mature must have this mind. A mind that recognizes we haven't achieved, a mind that motivates us to push on, to press on, to press forward, to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of us. An attitude that doesn't say, oh, I know so much now. But an attitude that says, oh, there's so much more to know. An attitude that doesn't say, oh, I've done so much and I'm beginning to become weary in the work. But an attitude that says, there's so much more to be done, and I'm here to do it. Here I am, Lord, send me. An attitude that longs to be with God, but recognizes that maybe for now, it's more needful to be here in this world. If God wants you to retire, He'll take you out of this world. Until then, He wants you to work. And Paul says then, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. What he's saying there is, look, if on some of the minor details we differ, if in the detail of the application of this principle of a life devoted to God until the grave, we differ in little details, don't make those little details. Make minors as majors. Don't substitute in the place of serving the Lord Jesus Christ, of making known the righteousness of God, of calling sinners to repentance, of living a life of holiness. Minor things, like should we sing only psalms or are hymns okay? What version of the Bible should we be using? And details like this, which may have a place, that's not the point. It's not to say those things shouldn't be given some thought. But they're minor in comparison to the greatness, the enormity of the work of making Christ known to a fallen world. to the work of living righteous, holy lives that shine forth the glory of Christ in us. And so, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Okay, some of you are older. Some of you seem to be so mature in the Christian faith. How much greater an obligation rests upon you to walk appropriately as you have attained. We don't expect a young convert to display the same degree of understanding of God's word, the same degree of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ as we would a mature Christian. As we have attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let's live appropriately. So then, the more mature you think you are, the more like Christ you ought to be, who did not slacken his pace even to the cross itself. So let us walk in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, in the footsteps of Christ, and endure to the end. Don't take early retirement. God will call you home in his time.